Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CONCACAF Champions League Review Show.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the 4ACs Fire and Net Soccer Show. CONCACAF Champions League Group Stage Review Show is back again as we discuss what's going on with our clubs in Major League Soccer, as well as what's going on with the clubs in Mexico. And I got to tell you, everyone, very happy to see the competition coming back. A couple of new sides coming in. We know that the Houston Dynamo and the Los Angeles Galaxy got underway next. We'll get underway in week two. But a couple of new teams, Sporting Kansas City winning the U.S. Open Cup last year. The San Jose Earthquakes, of course, winning the Supporters' Shield last year at the end of the regular season. And you just got to say that it's pretty good to see what's going on. And, of course, the winners of the Canadian Championship, the Montreal Impact, they've returned after becoming the first Canadian side to get into the CONCACAF Champions League. And at the time, Montreal was in the second division at the time known as the U.S. Soccer Second Division League. So basically, it's pretty good and pretty exciting to see these teams, these newer teams coming in once again. Los Angeles Galaxy, they are the MLS Cup champions, of course. And let's not also forget that for the Houston Dynamo, again, the runners-up in the MLS Cup final, losing to the Los Angeles Galaxy. But you got to say, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a very, very interesting Champions League, what's going to happen here. And if you really think about it, even with Mexico, there's no more Monterrey, at least in this edition. There's no more Santos Laguna in this edition, because it's been, let's just say it, very interesting to see what's going on and basically what's going to happen. And you just don't know what it is that could happen with the Mexican sides. Now, you got to say that as you look at the standings right now, here are the teams from Mexico. We have Club America. We do have Toluca. We also have Club Tijuana. And one more, and I know I'm missing it right now. Cruz Azul. And Cruz Azul, at the moment, they haven't played yet. But three of the four Mexican sides have. So, basically, it's just one of those things where it's going to be an interesting CONCACAF Champions League. And right now, we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen after week one, of course, and it's going to be interesting. We're going to find out what's going on. But here's the question right now. And even though they're only playing four games, all four MLS sides, and I think the teams you have to look at, especially teams like San Jose and Sporting Kansas City, because Sporting Kansas City at the moment, second in the East. The Red Bulls are first in the East. And you have to wonder. You just have to wonder what is going to happen with this team, because, and even Montreal. Montreal started red hot. They were in first place. And then all of a sudden, Sporting Kansas City crept up and took over. The Red Bulls hovered in the East. And then they took out Salt Lake. Then they took out Sporting Kansas City. And now you're seeing in first place in the East, New York. Second place, Sporting Kansas City. Third place, Montreal. So now that the CONCACAF Champions League is here, the big question is this. What are those two teams are going to do when it comes to the Champions League? How are they going to perform? And at the same time, not just perform, but What are they going to do if they start losing some more ground? We don't know yet. But Marco Schellenbaum, I believe he's got a game plan. I also believe that Peter Vermes is not going to rest on his laurels. I think he's going to definitely going to give it an attempt to be very, very competitive when you get to both types of competitions. And you have to say, I think it's going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be very, very tough. You got yourself a full squad complimentary. And I think that bringing in back Dominic Dwyer for Sporting Kansas City, it's going to be very interesting. Once again, Montreal, for the first time in Stade Saputo, they will be having CONCACAF Champions League matches at home instead of being either in a separate home or at least in a different area. At least in MLS now, they are in CONCACAF Champions League. Los Angeles Galaxy and the Houston Dynamo, we don't know what's going to happen with these teams. We don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. That's definitely not a bad thing. But you got to say, and if you really think about it, you wonder how they're going to perform because MLS season. They've kind of had a mediocre season here and there. Yes, I know that they're probably going to be in playoff competition, or at least to secure a playoff spot. But the truth is this. The truth is that we need to see a lot from LA and Houston on what they're doing. Now, if you look at the standings in MLS, Houston is in the last playoff spot with 33 points. The Galaxy are in the fourth place spot, and they have 33 points. They're at least tied on points with Vancouver with 33. Not far away from the Timbers, who have 35, and the Rapids, who have 35. So at the moment, it's not so bad for the Galaxy, but for the Dynamo, at least a five-point clearance from the New York Red Bulls, who are in first. So we're going to have to wait and see what the situation is going to be. And we'll have to wait and see what Dominic Kinnear is going to do. We're going to have to wait and see what Dominic Kinnear is going to do because we don't know what the situation is. We don't know how the Galaxy and the Dynamo, and especially Bruce Arena, we got to know what's going to happen. We got to know what the situation is and how their team is going to perform. We know Landon Donovan will be for the Galaxy. He'll be there. And we'll also know what the situation is. If he does stay in MLS. So that is the situation we have. That is the situation that is right now for both Houston and LA. And we'll have to wait and see what the situation is for both San Jose and for Montreal and for Sporting Kansas City. Because here's the interesting thing. Someone's going to get eliminated in that group. And for those of you wondering, that is going to be Group E. Because it's either going to be the Quakes or it's either going to be the Impact. And they're going to take on Heredia in Guatemala. And if you're thinking that's going to be the big-time challenge against these two sides, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's going to be either Montreal or the Quakes. Because that this could get down to goal difference. That's going to be the difference, is on the goal differential. Montreal beat San Jose. They're up right now in first place. That's the situation. We'll see what happens. And, you know, time will tell. Time will tell on what these teams in MLS are going to do. Because there's a lot of things going, and there's a lot of things going to be happening in these tournaments, and we really, really need to see what can happen. That's it. There's a lot of work to be done here in the Champions League. A lot of work. And these coaches are going to have to juggle a lot of things. That's what it is, everyone. We all know what the situation is. We are all aware of the situation. All aware of the situation on what's going on. And these teams are going to have to come in here showing a lot. And we also have to see what's going on with the Mexican sides. Because even though Club America, they are one of the top teams in Mexico. They are one of the top teams in Mexico. But the point is, we don't know how they're going to be within this competition. Chivas of Guadalajara was in it the last edition. They were in it the last edition. And we're going to have to see what these guys are going to be made of. We're going to have to see what the situation is with them. And at the moment, it's going to be tough. It's going to be extra tough. We all knew that. We all knew. We all know what's coming to be right in front of these teams. And all I can say is, folks, this is what we've wanted. There's an opportunity now for these teams to get into a knockout stage opportunity. We could have all four American sides. We could have three American, one Canadian. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And I know that this is going to get exciting for me. I can't wait. It's going to be great. But other than that, we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. And other than that, my friends, we're going to move forward. And you know what? I'm glad we're moving forward because we're going to finally talk some CONCACAF Champions League action. And, of course, join me right now discussing Sporting Kansas City. You follow him on the Down the Byline blog. That's my good friend Mike Kuhn. And, Kuhn, I know you didn't like the loss against the Red Bulls on Saturday, but let's just say that getting into Sporting Kansas City, and for the first time in a long time that this club has gotten into any form of international club competition, you have to say that the opponents that you have in this group of yours, and, of course – You really can't sneeze at Olimpia from Honduras, but Real Esteli from Nicaragua, I think they should have had more than just two goals in this match.
No, really, we should have. I was really surprised with how poor I felt Esteli was as a whole in that game. They just it was the defending was. It's just hard to describe how surprised I was with how bad the defending was. I mean, they were Sunny Saad and Dom Dwyer were running circles around them for most of the night, and it was. Yeah, two goals was less than I thought we deserved. I mean, it was troublesome until Dwyer got the second. I kept waiting for that counterpunch like New York did against us two, three times on the weekend to tie the game up and really put us on our heels. But, I mean, Esteli, even going forward, didn't offer as much as I thought they would in that game, especially being at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. And one thing I have to say, and obviously the first goal for Sporting, a great goal in my opinion by Aiko Parra, and I mean it's a pop-up. I mean the ball's been deflected. It's high up in the air, and you'd like to think the keeper is going to make at least a grab for it or some sort of an opportunity, but Justo Llorente, for some strange reason, misplayed it. And it goes right inside the upper near corner, and it's 1-0.
Yeah, I think part of it was he misjudged the trajectory of it, because when I was watching it live, I thought that Ike was heading it back across goal for Colin, who had made the run to what was the near post, basically. And I think he had just totally misjudged the header by Opara, but I mean, the goal itself was basically, that's how I saw the goal coming the first 20, 30 minutes. I mean, if you watched the game, we controlled everything in the air. I mean, I said on Twitter during the game, before we scored the first one, I'm like, this game's calling for CJ to come in off the bench, because Sapong has the ability to really muscle up and get in the air more. Not that Dwyer or Sunny can't, but Sapong just gives us a bigger body, and with the defensive line that Esteli had, the game was just screaming for us to put Sapong in and just loft balls into the box and let Sapong do his thing. But, I mean, we got the first goal, and then we got the second, and we didn't really need to insert Sapong until late to just kill some time. But over the course of the game, it was just like, they have nothing in the air. We need to be exploiting this more.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said to you before, it should have been at least more, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 goals, because Esteli had nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, thankfully you got that second goal in the second half by Dom Dwyer in the 75th minute, how he powered that shot. And I saw, as soon as he hit it, I knew it was going to bend inside the far post and in. But, my God, what a finish by Dom Dwyer. And even though he's been on loan or sent down to the minors, technically, to Orlando City, he's had a great season with Orlando City, Dom Dwyer is clicking right now for KC, and he is really becoming a guy that, obviously, Peter Vermees can trust.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is. I mean, seriously, when he came on against New York, I had mentioned I was getting tired of that sub, because every single game he's bringing Dwyer in for Vieira right around between the 70th and 85th minute, basically. And I had said I was getting tired of it because Dom hadn't been producing. And then, well, Dom made me eat my words and made you kind of made your seat a little hot late in the game against you guys on the weekend, basically. So, I mean, Dom, I think he might finally have clicked at this level of play, basically. Like, let's face it, the USL is not the level of MLS. It's a very good level, but it's one thing to score 13 league goals, 18 in all competitions for USL pro side, and then to come up and compete with against MLS sides. So it's good to see him start to get some confidence, which really we're going to need in the Champions League because we will need to do some squad rotation.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, you got one down, three to go for KC. And, of course, like we said before, or at least I was saying, yeah, Esteli's not really much of a challenge, but, let's not overlook what Olimpia has done for, in the Honduran League as well as in the Champions League. They're going to be a tough competition for Sporting. I mean, that's a Model Guevara's club. And once again, CUNY, this is going to be the bigger challenge to try and win this group and advance into the knockout stage for next year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Olympia game is absolutely going to be the tougher one. And that hopefully only the two-goal win against Esteli doesn't come back to haunt us, because if they play like they did against Olympia, they could be punished worse. I mean, I'm not overly worried, even though our home form isn't the greatest. But I'm not really worried about our home games against Esteli and Olympia. I think we can take both of those games. It's mm-hmm. that away game in Honduras that's really got me worried at this point, because I have a feeling we're both going to take maximum points off Esteli in the two games, and it's really going to come down to who can beat Esteli by more, and B, who's going to show up in the two games between Olympia and Sporting, basically, because those two games are going to be what decides this group, I think.
No, I absolutely agree. Other than that, CUNY, I'm just curious to know, how do you feel, besides, I mean, I know you wanted four or five more goals, obviously, to rack up on the differential, but how did you feel confident, at least, by your team, obviously, because, I mean, they did win the match, they got the 3 points, they got two goals out of it, but did you feel confident?
No, actually, I did. I mean, I know I said earlier that I kept waiting for that counterattacking hit, but the later it got with us being up 1-0, I'm like, it's not coming. Esteli just didn't – we were playing very well. I mean, I don't want to say Esteli playing poorly was all of it. We played very well in denying them really anything in the offensive third of the field. I rewatched the game, and I think they had like two shots on goal, and they really had like – I think there was 1 5-minute span in the first half where they looked really threatening. But other than that, I wasn't really worried about them the entire game. It was just like, okay, they're coming down, but we're going – there was no lack of confidence on my part in, oh, yeah, Colin and Opar are going to clean things up, take care of business. It just – I wasn't dreading a goal. I was worried about one coming against us, but I wasn't dreading it, just because we were keeping them from really getting into dangerous positions. Rossell did a marvelous job of disrupting the midfield with Olam sitting behind him. He was able to actually disrupt more of the play, which I've liked when I've seen it. I don't know why Vermees doesn't do that more in league play, putting Olam behind Rossell and let Rossell do more of the Espinoza role from last year.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I do have to ask you this. Do you think you are missing Roger Espinoza? I mean, I know he's over in England with Wigan, but do you feel like you're missing that little extra something with him not being on this side?
I think we're missing some of the midfield tenacity. I think we're missing the guy that guys like Javier Morales or other attacking-minded players in the league, they have to be mindful of where that guy is on the field, because he can show up in an instant. I mean, Roger was great at just coming out of nowhere, winning a tackle, getting even with the guy, catching up, and it just made things a lot easier for the defense. And, I mean, it's not just Roger, it's also Cesar. I mean, Cesar wasn't great mobility wise, but he was really good at sticking to his spot and keeping things simple. He was able to disrupt plays just because of how good and how experienced he was. And Rossell is right now is kind of the guy that's been tasked with taking over that role. And Rossell is a very good player. He just doesn't have the experience of a guy who's played in 10 different countries, bunch of different clubs, however many Cesar had actually played for. But, I mean, I think the loss of not just Espinoza, but Cesar have been the two big losses for us. But, I mean, you can't hold on to guys forever. I mean, Roger wanted to go, and we were more than happy with it. And with Cesar, it was just, well, he got waived by Toronto, and, I mean, what's that kind of say at this point?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, that's definitely one of those weird ones. I mean, unfortunately, Toronto is kind of weird around this time of day. But I got to say, and I have to say with you, CUNY, I think right now Kansas City, like I said, I think the only problem you're going to have is against Olympia, and I think it's going to be the road game down in Olympia.
Yeah, definitely. No, the road game in Olympia is going to be key. If we can steal a point there, I would be ecstatic and would put our chances of advancing much higher, especially since we get the two road games out of the way. We play on the road the first two, and then we're home for the final two games. So we luck out in that regard. We will know exactly what we need to do, and we'll be at home for the two of them. So it'll be, we'll have that confidence. They won't have to. The other team will be the one traveling however many miles by plane to get up here for the game, basically.
Right. Absolutely. You got your passport ready there, CUNY, to head on down to Honduras? You're gonna fly down and check it out? You're going to spot everything?
I am not going to Honduras. I was hoping for W Connection. I was hoping for one of the Trinidad teams in our group. Then I would have gone. Then I would have taken a week off, and I would have taken a nice little vacation down to Trinidad and catch a game while I was down there. But I don't really want to go to Honduras right now.
No, you don't want to go to Honduras? Okay. All right. Fine. Whatever you want, CUNY, whatever you want to go to. You know, you want to go to a nice Caribbean island. You want to be in the nice tropical area. You don't want to be in Central America. You want to lie down. You want to bring the wife and the kids. You just want to go and, you know, drink whatever is pretty good down there. I understand. I hear you. You know, that's how you play it. Okay.
Yep. Just much easier to plan a vacation in the Caribbean instead of Central America. Don't have to worry about things as much, I don't think. But again,
yeah,
that's probably
absolutely
stereotypical of me.
Just a little bit, but I won't hold it against you. I promise. All right. Well, listen. You take care. We'll have you back on for after your next CONCACAF Champions League matchup, and we'll also have you on whenever I need you for Sporting Kansas City on the regular show. But I think it's a good start. Obviously, you wanted more goals, and that's understandable. But I think that's a good start for KC, and I think you'll be fine in this tournament. I think you'll be able to get out of the group stage. We'll see what happens, though. Take care, CUNY. Thanks a lot.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
No problem at all. And that's Mike Kuhn from Down the Byline over in Sporting Kansas City blog. And, of course, the next match you're going to have, talk about, of course, it's the Inter-MLS matchup between San Jose Earthquakes and the Montreal Impact. At the moment, we have Lisa Erickson on from Quake Rattle and Goal, and, of course, Centerline Soccer. And we're just waiting for Mr. Accardio Marcuzzi to join us here, and hopefully he will, but Lisa, we have you on first as we're waiting for our cardio to join in on the Montreal end. So far, Lisa, what did you expect? I mean, obviously, you knew it was going to be a tough match on the road over at Stade Saputo, but how did you feel your side fared in this match? I know you only lost a goal, by at least a goal, but still, though, how did you think your side fared?
I thought for playing a B squad or being a B squad playing an A squad, they did a little bit better than I had expected when I saw the formations being named. I think, you know, if Marvin Chavez would have been able to go longer than 43 minutes, which we'll talk about that and how that was not a yellow card. I think they did better than expected. And I think if Alan Gordon wouldn't have whiffed, hit saddest penalty since, was it YP Lee who did it for Vancouver during preseason last year. That was probably the worst penalty I've ever seen. So this is second to that.
Now, I have to admit, Alan Gordon really did not take that penalty. I wouldn't say, if he didn't take it well, that's being kind. I'll be honest with you. That's being kind. I don't think he took that penalty at all. It was really, really it was a horrible penalty. I don't know I think he drove his foot straight into the ground. That's what I think he did.
And I understand it was pouring down rain at Saputo, and I've got caught in a Montreal torrential downpour just like that a few weeks ago. So I understand San Jose peeps are not used to tropical storms.
Probably so. But, Lisa, your sparring partner has joined us. Of course, it is Arcadio Marcuzzi of Le Footer up in Montreal, a big successful Impact victory. The first time the Impact has returned to the CONCACAF Champions League since the switch over from the Champions Cup into the league. And Arcadio, I have to tell you, great goal by Hassoun Kamara to get the 1-0 lead after the big save on the penalty to give Montreal the one goal lead and the victory all the way. Oh, is he there? Arcadio, you there? I guess not. I guess we're having some phone issues with Arcadio. We'll try again, but
maybe he got scared from talking with
No. No, no, no. Come on. You can't do that. You can't say
maybe
that.
You have to unmute him.
No. I'm going to try again anyway. I always like to try and give our friends a good call here. Or hopefully I did give the right phone number, I'd like to think. I think I have the right phone number. Yeah, I have it right there. So let's see if he does answer, hopefully. But we'll see what happens here. But once again, Lisa, it was a pretty good goal by Montreal to get the one-goal lead after the big stop on the penalty. And I know it must have been tough for you to see that happen because it looked like the Quakes did have a pretty good match.
Yeah. So, it's great for their new designated player, Bernardello, to be able to make that happen to Kamara. And as you well know, Montreal is my second favorite team in the entire league.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Even if,
yes, I know.
If Quakes had to lose to somebody, at least it was to Montreal. It would have been horrible if it was to sports.
Yeah, very, very true.
For DC.
Well, I can say this, though. You're going to face them again later on, probably in September.
Yeah,
The Quakes are going to host the Impact. So at least it's one of those things where I think everything is going to be fine. I think everything will be okay. I mean, the Quakes have an opportunity to at least get some form of revenge. I think we all know that the group, or at least the opponent in your group, is basically not strong enough, and that particular opponent for both your side and for the Impact is Heredia from Guatemala.
Right, exactly. They ended up second place in the Guatemalan League, so you never know what's going to happen in Guatemala, but pretty sure that the Quakes and the Impact can do some damage at home for each of them. So I expect... the Quakes can. I think with the fallout of how the fans reacted for San Jose putting up a B squad, and that Mark Watson basically saying that MLS is more important than CCL, or that's how it came across to a lot of fans, that kind of like what Impact did to make it into the CCL and when they were playing Toronto. But they completely turned around and kind of whooped butt 6-0. So I think you'll see that happen, that the Quakes will probably play more of their starters in September and to get those 3 points back.
Right, absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens then. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good matchup. I thought it was a pretty good I thought it was a pretty good match. I mean, either side could have gotten more than one goal in this matchup. I thought, to be honest with you, it could have been a 1-1 draw, but then again, we already know what the situation was with the missed penalty or the poorly taken penalty by Gordon, and which, to be honest with you, I think that's un-Gordon-like.
That was very un-Gordon-like. I mean, I would have liked to have seen Jaime Alas to actually get step up and take that penalty, because I have a feeling he could do some damage, you know.
Yeah,
but
absolutely. Let me ask you this, though, if I can just throw this out at you. What do you think what's going to be the game plan now? I mean, it's no longer Frank Yallop, obviously. It's the interim head coach. What do you think he needs to do? And I apologize if I forgot his name. But what do you think – thank you. What do you think Lawson's going to have to do to shake things up? Because I know he didn't use John Bush in goal in the matchup. He used the backup. But do you think you're going to see John Bush coming back for the next match, at least maybe the home match for the Quakes, before they go on the road to Guatemala?
I think definitely, as I said, it depends on how things shake up. But as I said, I think if we keep not getting the results in the Champions League, then more and more of the starters will start showing up. I know that I think I've heard rumors, I haven't confirmed this, but all three goalkeepers are into their option year. So basically they can lose. So John Bush, David Bingham, and Evan Newton are the three goalkeepers for the Quakes. So they all have to be fighting for a reason to stay. And David Bingham's Generation Adidas, and his Generation Adidas contract ends this year for sure. So no matter what, he's going to be now against the Cats. So I'm hoping he will start having good games to make his case for his sake as well as for the Quakes' sake.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And, of course, since we're waiting for, let's see, maybe he is on. Let's see if we got him.
I can get to the phone right now. Please give me a short message.
I got his answering machine. So at the moment, it looks like we don't have – I can't have you talk to an answering machine because – that would be just wrong. You know, I don't want you to challenge an answering machine. You don't get a good response back, you know? So, but anyway, just want to go with Lisa. With Montreal, and it looks like we're not going to get a cardio tonight. If we do, maybe I'll try next time when it's Quakes versus Impact over after the Buckshaw match. But, I mean, obviously you've said Montreal is your second favorite team. What do you think Marco Schellenbaum has done right now with Montreal? They're kind of like slumping a little bit, to be honest, they are, when it comes to what's going on in the East. What do you think Montreal needs to do? What do you think Schellenbaum has to do to mix things up with Montreal right now? Because it looks like they're about to get into the home stretch here.
I think he's done it. I mean, I think the Impact has done it in the aspect of who they picked up in this transfer window. I think that they need to figure out how to keep Marco Davao on side a little bit more often. But he's dangerous, and I think they've had some unlucky results, I would say. But you know, I think they're going to make definitely the playoffs, and who knows, be a real contender. So, you know, I'm excited to see what Bernadello does. I'm excited to see, you know, what I forgot who their other one that they just picked up. Dang it. But, you know, they've got Bernier, who's very good. You got, I mean, Nesta and DeVayo and Paponi. I mean, who could not love them all? Well, okay, if you're a Sporting Kansas City fan or a New York fan, you might not love them. Or Toronto fan.
No, probably not.
But,
well, Toronto, that's a different thing. Montreal and Toronto, it's a big thing. Montreal and Toronto, you know, mortal enemies. That's what it is, mortal enemies.
I know. They're kind of crazy. So, but, you know, when you look at where Montreal was last year and where you look at them this year, I really don't see them needing to freak out yet, you know.
Right.
but as you know, it is what it is, and they're, you know, they're doing well. They have the highest points per game in the Eastern Conference.
And they also have two games in hand too.
Well, that's why points per game is the thing. They're actually they have the most points per game in the entire league. So if you look at it by that stat, they are sitting as the supporter shield.
Right.
So I'm not ready to freak out on them. I mean, New York's making their case, but, you know, they also have quite a few games ahead of them.
Yeah, that's very true. And Montreal could, theoretically, I know they don't have many games. I mean, they basically played all their three games against the Red Bulls already, and I know they probably have several games remaining. I haven't really looked at their schedule all the way, but I know they're probably going to play D.C. again. They're probably going to play Sporting Kansas City again and maybe Columbus and Philadelphia. So we'll see where they pick up the points. But I just have a funny feeling Montreal, they're going to make a big run in the playoffs here. They're going to make a big playoff push, that's for sure. That is for sure that Montreal is going to do that. But I just feel like when we get to further and further into what's left of the regular season here, and we have, of course, the month of August, we got September and October, Montreal is really going to have to step it up, especially if in the Champions League, because they got to face, once again, the Quakes in San Jose, and then they're going to face twice that team Heredia from Guatemala.
Exactly. So they'll step it up. I mean, you know, Montreal has to play DC United. They have some other, you know, twice Chicago. It looks like Vancouver, which is always a fun game for them to play. So,
yeah,
as I said, I'm not worried about them. I mean, I would be if I was in the Eastern Conference, but.
Right. Right. But you have your Western problems in front of you, especially the Galaxy and hopefully – you know, when you take on a team like Chivas USA, I mean, that should really be 3 points in the bag the way that this whole situation over there has been going on. But Champions League-wise...
And it was 3 points in the bag last week. Woohoo! The Quakes at home have won the last four games.
Right.
So,
well, I will say this, though. I will say this, though. You know, the way these things are going to be going here... and I'm looking at the schedule, of course, in your group with Montreal. I mean, you got to go on the 28th down to Guatemala, and then you got to host Montreal. And, I mean, that's a big one, because if San Jose gets nothing, and I mean, like, not just losing the game, but even if you draw, depending on what Montreal does against Heredia, but if Montreal does not draw or lose in any of their games outside of being on the road in San Jose, I mean, the Quakes, if you're going to need to get 3 points, you also got to put at least more than one goal past them.
I know. It can be done, though.
No, it can't be done, but the way that the format is now, because it used to be four groups of four, and now it's three groups of eight. So basically, you know, you got to think about these things, and you gotta think about these things. I mean, you know, this is a lot tighter because now everything is on you really quickly. You only have four games instead of six. Everything is on you really, really quickly and very, very tightly.
Yes, it is, and it's going to be crazy. But we'll see. You know, we've got Wando back. You know, with his extra W sewn in the back of his jersey. It really
Very
is.
True.
So he's ready to do everything and go crazy. And, you know, he always, it gets hot in August, September. So.
Yep, that's very, very true. That's very, very true. Well, Lisa, it looks like we're not going to get our cardio tonight. I'm sorry about that. I know you really wanted to have a little tussle with them, but unfortunately it's not going to happen.
Don't worry. And I hope I talked his team up well enough so he doesn't come after me.
Yeah, I know. I know. We'll see, though.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. And, of course, you know, love to have you back on the next whenever San Jose is playing, and, you know, I'd love to have you back on again. So Come back whenever you're ready, and we'll definitely talk about more Champions League and more earthquakes.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
No problem at all. It's Lisa Erickson, Quake Rattle and Goal, as well as Centerline Soccer, along with Robert Jonas on the podcast that you can listen to on NESN TV or NESN Network or whatever the NESN thingamajig is. And you just got to say that for the earthquakes right now, they are in a bit of a hole. It's not a big hole at the moment, but it could get bigger depending on what goes on against their other opponent in their group, like Heredia from Guatemala at the same time. It's always going to be about that return game over at Buckshaw when Montreal goes across the country to face the earthquakes. So we're going to have to wait and see what the heck's going to happen there. Let's not forget about that, the return. And this is the CONCACAF Champions League group stage week one review show, everybody. Thank you for listening in, or if you're going to listen in on the archive, I appreciate that as well as we get set here for CONCACAF Champions League, reviewing these games involving Major League Soccer and some of the clubs also from Mexico. Waiting for Ricardo Marcuzzi to join us, and hopefully he will. Still some time left. If not, don't forget we're going to have John Jagu on later on as we talk about the new Mexican clubs that are signed in as representatives of the FMF in the CONCACAF Champions League. So going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen with these clubs. And as everyone knows, and I want to talk about this because this is very interesting. And I find it hilarious in a certain way because, as everyone knows, Fox Soccer will be going away next Saturday as this whole thing with their new Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. It's just absolutely crazy, and I just think that getting rid of Fox Sports, or should I say Fox Soccer, all the way, it's just nuts. But then again, that's not me. But my complaint was in the past. My complaint from the past was always that whenever Fox Soccer is going to show a CONCACAF Champions League game with MLS sides, and you had two MLS sides starting at the same time, at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock, they never, ever go on Fox Soccer Plus to do the two games at once live. Because of the whole International Challenge Cup sponsored by Guinness. And if I do say so, and I will say so, it is a sham, and it is also a travesty, that Fox could not put two games at once on two separate channels that they run, the Fox Soccer and the Fox Soccer Plus. And I've been screaming for it and screaming for it and screaming for it, and it still wouldn't happen. It still wouldn't happen. And now all of a sudden, as Fox Soccer says hurrah, says goodbye, so long, farewell, alvita zane to thee, all of a sudden, here we go. Here's the situation. All of a sudden, here it comes. Both games are on Fox Soccer Plus. Now, I don't know if Fox Soccer Plus is going to remain on our airwaves. I'm assuming it's going to be gone as well. But the truth of the matter is this. This situation should have happened a long time ago. But instead, International Challenge Cup gets priority because it's all European sides. Am I happy that Fox is getting rid of both soccer channels? You know, right now I don't care. I really don't care, to be honest. The truth of the matter is this. You're trying to highlight the game in this country. Not just European soccer, not just European football, but MLS soccer, MLS football, MLS, CONCACAF, everything. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what my rant has always been about. We should be on the same page as our as the clubs in Europe that perform in the UEFA Champions League. We should be on the same page like those clubs in Europe that perform in the UEFA Champions League and the Europa League. You're not going to get the you're not going to get like a CONCACAF league or a you know or a CONCACAF you know to go along with the CONCACAF Champions League. It's not going to happen. I know that. But the point is simple. We have to be equal. Because it's a Champions League. I don't care if the teams come from Honduras or Panama or Costa Rica or from the Caribbean islands. If they can perform at the same type of level as teams do in the UEFA Champions League, then you know what? Let's go. Football is football. I understand. People are going to tell you, no, it's not. Fine. No, it's not. But that's not the point. The point is that this situation should have been taken care of a long time ago. And you want to know what else I have to say? I got to say, it's absolutely disgraceful that it's had to come when all of a sudden this Guinness International Cup thing is going on. It's disgraceful because if the International Cup Challenge sponsored by Guinness, a cash grab, and let's be honest with ourselves, it is a cash grab. But this is a real competition. The CONCACAF Champions League, a real competition. If you follow me on Twitter, D. Feuerstein, at D. Feuerstein, if you follow me on Twitter, and let's be honest, if you follow me, I've been doing a hashtag called Fake Cups in USA is not cool. And I will continue to say so. Fake cups in USA is not cool. Because this is what it is. It's a cash grab. And these are the European clubs that are coming to the U.S. And here's something else that I have to say. While that kid, to meet Cristiano Ronaldo and giving him a hug and everything, and yes, he got kicked out, but nice about it. Where is the security guards? Where is security trying to prevent that from happening? Because you don't know if this kid was armed. Obviously, he's not armed, and I feel bad for him, obviously. And you know, I don't like seeing people, you know, you feel bad when they lose their parents or one of their parents, and they, you know, they're hardworking and everything and fighting and everything. But the point is this. You don't know if that kid had something on him, and that's just terrible. Because who knows what could have happened? I mean, that was just a bad job by the Sun Life Stadium people. But back to this. This is a real competition, everyone. This is a real competition. We have to support this competition because, once again, this is the road to the 2014 FIFA Club World Cup title. And the way to get there is for your team to win four matches, and not just four matches, but to get to the knockout stages and try to become the top side in CONCACAF Club Championships. This is what I'm talking about. The only way to legitimize the CONCACAF Champions League is to support it all the way. It has to be done. You expecting the same thing for the Champions League in Europe? Well, I'm expecting the same thing for the Champions League in CONCACAF. That's what I'm talking about. We have to support it all the way. You support your club? Great. You got to support your club in the CONCACAF Champions League? Great. More needs to be done. I keep saying more needs to be done. More really needs to be done to make everything solid and stand out. Because if we don't do that, it's going to fail. How are we going to get this competition into the upper echelons unless, basically, unless we all come together and make this important, very, very important. Now, I am not happy with what U.S. Soccer did when it comes to having the U.S. Open Cup semifinals on the same day, or at least on the same week as a CONCACAF Champions League week. Now, obviously, next week is international friendly. The USA will be in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And, of course, that match will be on at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time this coming Wednesday on ESPN2, I believe. But here's the thing, and it has to be said here. It really has to be said. If this is a game in Europe for our national team at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, couldn't U.S. Soccer schedule the Open Cup matches on Wednesday night, August 14th? Couldn't they have just done that? Couldn't they have just did that? It'd save us a lot of time and a lot of heartache from choosing. Look, I was able, and if you saw my tweet, you know, I was able to watch them all. But you know what? It's just one of those things where there's nothing we can do about it. It's one of those things that we, unfortunately, there's nothing any of us could do about it. That's how it is, and it shouldn't be. But hopefully, as we move forward here on the show, we can definitely just sit back, relax, not worry too much about it, and we can just concentrate on the matter at hand, and that is continuing to support the CONCACAF Champions League in this confederation. And joining me now and talking about the situation with the clubs that have participated from Mexico in the Mexican League, it's, of course, my good friend John Jagu from Big Soccer, who covers the Mexican League and, of course, the Mexican national team. And, John, I have to say this. It's a little weird not seeing Monterrey or Santos Laguna in this edition of the Champions League. Hopefully we'll see if they'll qualify for the next one. But, like I said, it's a little strange not seeing them after Monterrey does the three in a row.
Yeah, good evening, Daniel. You know, you're right. It's just one of those weird things, you know, for Monterrey. They just didn't seem to pick up enough steam to make a late season run like they had previous years. But, you know, with that said, I think that the teams that are in the this edition of the Champions League, particularly Tijuana and América, Club América, the Mexico City team, you know, I think that there's, you know, still a very strong contingent of Mexican sides, and of course Cruz Azul, you know, they have a chance to make their debut next week in the tournament as well. So there's still going to be some very, very, very solid teams playing in the CONCACAF Champions League. And we saw Toluca get a home win against you know, the folks out of TNT, and you know, I think that Tijuana got a hard fought win, you know, in one of, you know, probably one of the toughest places to play in all of CONCACAF down in San Salvador against Firpo, and América got there, got, you know, they got going with a pretty decent team, and I think that they're sending a message to the rest of the if not CONCACAF, I would definitely League MX. Hey, you know what? This is an important tournament for us. We're going to play it. We're not going to play with reserves. We're going to play it with our first team, and they got the win 1-0 there against Sporting San Miguelito, which is probably the coolest name of any team. America, they had a lot of their players in the Gold Cup, so they really haven't had a chance to play together. So the fact that they were able to get that win, I think speaks a lot to them. It speaks to their coach. And, it pains me to say it because as a Pumas fan, we're not supposed to like America, but they are when they're a good team, they're a great team. And when they're a great team, the league is better. And I think the CONCACAF Champions League is going to be a lot better. So, and pardon me if you hear any noise. We're getting ready to broadcast the Cowboys game in Spanish here. So I'm in a control room, so that's why there's some ancillary noise that might be leaking through.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. But I want to go to Toluca for a minute because I think Toluca, and no offense to Club America, I know whenever Club America gets to an international competition, whether it is the Libertadores down with the CONMEBOL or even in now CONCACAF Champions League. To me, it seems like Toluca, under the head coach of Jose Cardozo, I think this could be a team that could be a threat early on, and they showed it against Caledonia, and they didn't take them lightly. They just powered their way past them. Great goals from Edgar Benitez in the 23rd minute. Miguel Almaza from a free kick from a hell of a distance in the 29th and to get up 2-0 before half. And then, of course, they just added a third for the heck of it, which is from Raul Nava Lopez. I think he was on that Gold Cup team in the 60th minute, got his goal to make it 3-0. But to me, it seems like Cardozo's side is very determined to get to the knockout stages.
For sure. I mean, Toluca – people, when they look at Mexican soccer, they'll say, well, there's the big four. There's America and then Chivas, of course, and Cruz Azul, and Pumas. But Toluca's right there with them when it comes to championships. And Cardozo was a big reason why, because when he was playing back, last decade, his goal-scoring prowess is legendary. I mean, only one person has scored more goals in the league than he did. And that guy was a guy by the name of Cabinho, who was a Brazilian player that played in Mexico for, 15 years and just, one of our big questions that we've always asked in Mexico is that when, at that time, the Brazilian national team did not have they had great players, but they didn't have, a natural goal scorer. They didn't have a guy that could finish plays. And Cavinho, who was just terrific in Mexico for years and years and years, that's what he did. And we always wondered, why didn't Brazil ever bring him in? Because he would have made that team look so much better. Anyway, I digress. But, no, you're right, though. I think that, the fact that over the years that we talked about it, Daniel, the fact that, teams start taking this tournament more seriously, obviously the tournament's getting better. The teams, not just in Mexico, but in the U.S. and all over Central America are improving, and they're taking the tournament. As it should be taken, with a lot more seriousness. And, Toluca showed what they wanted to do. I mean, they had a very strong team that played, the folks out of Trinidad and Tobago. And I fully expect them to advance to the next round, just like I expect. I don't think that we'll have a repeat of what we had last year with Chivas crashing out in the group stage. I think that all four teams will easily make it into the knockout, as they should. And we'll see what happens after that.
Absolutely. Of course, Club America's in this. This is their first time in it in a long time. I remember the last time it was at the time it was the CONCACAF Champions Cup, I believe. Cuauhtémoc Blanco was wearing Club America colors playing in the Champions
Toluca
Cup.
Beat Toluca in the final.
Beat Toluca in the final. Look at that.
The final. And then they went to Japan and got smoked by Barcelona in their But then again, everyone
gets stuck by Barcelona. Yeah, it's very true.
No, but you're right, though. In Cruz Azul, God bless them, and they were, I don't know if you saw the end of the Mexican final this past June, but they were, literally 15 seconds from winning their first title. And then in their umpteenth try, they hadn't won once since 1997, and it was just absolutely brutal for them to give up two late goals and, you know, and practically stoppage time to Club America. The last one, which was scored by a goalkeeper. And then they went to penalties, and anybody that was watching them knew that there was no way that Cruz Azul was going to come back from that. And sure enough, Club America was able to get the win.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're strong teams, and I think Cruz Azul will make it. They've been perennially a great team. Club America has kind of fallen off, but they're kind of back to where they were before. With the, they have a really good coach and a guy who, Club America, because of the fact of who owns them and how much pressure they have to perform as players, I think the coach has done a great job of taking the pressure off of the players and put it all on him. You know, whether it's media pressure or fan pressure, whatever it is, I mean, he is just a masterful job of making himself the story of the team. And then, the players, of course, they've had to deal with this past week, the passing of Chucho Benitez, who played for America for the past couple of years, and then actually won the last three scoring titles, of course, passed away in Qatar a few weeks ago after he was.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was just, he was a great player, an Ecuadorian starting striker for Ecuador's team, had scored in the last four qualifiers in a row. Young guy, only 27, 28, and he ended up, unfortunately, had an unknown heart condition and also had an appendicitis attack. And it was right in the middle of the, past sunset and Ramadan, so the hospital wasn't staffed as well as it could have been. It was just a horrible, horrible, I'm not going to say that they could have been prevented. Just a terrible set of circumstances that caused that tragedy. He left behind a couple of kids and his wife, of course.
Oh, no.
So Club America had to deal. He was one of them. He'd become one of their idols. And, the fact that they were able to, they won their local game and then went out to the Champions League and took care of business. I think it sends a message to the rest of the tournament that says, I think that Club America is going to be the team to beat in this tournament.
I definitely will agree with you there. Absolutely. Definitely agree with you. Club America.
Of course,
America.
It would have been
much
stronger than that Benitez, but those
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing, though, Club Tijuana, I mean, they had a 0-0 draw with Firpo, and, I mean, obviously it's on the road. You don't want to say, a draw on the road is a bad thing, but, I mean, the way that this club has been retooling sort of, with, of course, they have the American internationals, they got Edgar Castillo, they have Joe Corona, who had a great Gold Cup tournament for the USA, won a Gold Cup title. I think also Hercules Gomez is with Tijuana, or he's with another team, I forget. But
he's injured right now.
He's injured right now? Okay. Did not know he was hurt. Okay. So they are missing Hercules Gomez at the moment. But do you feel maybe that they probably should have done better against Firpo, or do you think Firpo is a stronger side than
we give
them credit
for? What people have to remember is that the Cuscatlan is a really, really hard place to play. Good teams go down there and have a really hard time. Great teams go down there and have a really hard time, regardless of who it is that they're playing. So, they get a tie on the road. I don't think it was a bad result at all. You're right, though. They are a team that's retooling. They have a new coach. Their previous coach went back to coach Antonio Mohamed back in his native Argentina. They got another coach who was very pleased with the result. They have another team that's just a very solid team. Are expected to make it to the next round and see how they do in the knockouts. Tijuana is kind of a weird team there. I don't know if you're how familiar you are with them, but they have a huge following in San Diego as well, and they've done a very good job of marketing to Southern California, almost to the point where last year when they did win the title and the Apertura, it made the front page of the San Diego paper, which I thought was real interesting. And San Diego was celebrating it as if the city had won the championship, because their city, their teams haven't won anything. So that's how they were doing that, and that's one of the reasons why they have so many Americans on the team, because they, and it wouldn't surprise me at all, actually, Daniel Vassi, and I thought it was going to happen to Levi Cadores, but I think that they're going to play one of their home games is going to be played over at the Murphy, I think, at some point for this tournament.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think we're going to probably see some games over at the old Murphy, of course, now called Qualcomm Stadium. And I really do agree with you. I mean, we're going to see some pretty good matches here in the Champions League for some of these clubs down in Mexico. And, of course, as I take a look at the schedule, like we've said already, Cruz Azul is going to get underway on the 22nd as they host Herediano. I think Herediano is probably one of the top sides in Costa Rica. They're probably going to give Cruz Azul a tough time. But that stadium over, and I believe, do they also play in Mexico City in a different area? Or this is,
yeah, they play next to the Bull Ring in a stadium called the Estadio Azul, which was when they dug the mud to make the brick for the Bull Ring, they left a huge hole. So let's put a stadium here. So they put a stadium in there. Back in the 50s or 60s, I think it was. Yes, yeah, so, no, they play next. You know, funny thing about this Mexico City is that the three soccer stadiums, the Azteca, the Azul, and then the Olympic Stadium, where they had the Olympics, are literally like within a 3-mile radius of each other.
Wow.
They are not far apart at all. Of course, there's Mexico City traffic, which means that they're like 45 minutes apart. But,
oh, okay.
But Cruz Azul, I think, looking at their group, I think that they'll be all right. They'll be able to manage that group as well. And again, Cruz Azul, they're just a team. They lose players, they bring players in, they just, in my opinion, if they could only win a championship, it would justify how well they manage the sporting side of their business, because it is a cement company that runs them. But it is pretty amazing how it is that they're good.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens there. Once again, previewing the next couple of matches here, Toluca will be on the road at Comunicaciones. Down in Guatemala, and Guatemala has always been a tough place for anyone to go down there. It doesn't matter what club they face, either U.S. or Mexico. They're always going to give a tough – some of those clubs are going to give a tough challenge to these top sides in Mexico and in MLS. Toluca, who started off strong against Caledonia, obviously they'll be the weak link in this group. But you see a draw on this one? Or do you think that Toluca could surprise them and get an early goal or two again and then take a win?
I'm sure that Toluca will probably be cautious at first and, try and withstand, the first 15, 20 minutes or so, and then, take their chances. I mean, they have terrific front-line players and Benitez and Nava, so they can certainly, they can manufacture goals in a variety of ways. And if they can, catch the team in a mistake or whatever it is, I mean, I'm sure that they'll be happy to pounce on it. Just like, any team that goes down to Central America and hopes that they can squeeze that out.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Club Tijuana on the 20th, they'll be on the road again against Club Deportivo Victoria in Honduras. I'm not familiar with Victoria at all. I'm assuming they probably haven't been a top side in the Honduran league, but to me,
yeah,
it sounds like Club Tijuana.
Like Motagua or Motagua or Olympia that make it through. So, I mean, Honduras, we've seen it firsthand. I mean, they generate the athletes. So, I'm sure it's, Honduras is one of those countries that is slowly becoming an exporter of talent. That's one thing that I don't think a lot of folks understand about Honduras is how talented their players are. So, I mean, I think anyone that takes any Honduran team lightly really just hasn't been paying attention to what they've been doing. So I think that obviously any game down there against whoever it is that they play is going to be a difficult test.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But I've got a funny feeling maybe Tijuana could surprise Victoria. And I'm assuming they're going to take away. If they get a goal, Tijuana, I think they're going to at least jump up to the top of the group, and I think they're going to keep Victoria off their backs.
They get the two games at home after that. So, and the Caliente is an extremely difficult place to play. So.
I bet it is. Before I let you go and handle the Dallas Cowboys game, I have to ask this question. Are you surprised that De La Torre is still running the national team after being eliminated in the Confederations Cup and, of course, taking that young side into the Gold Cup and losing in the semifinals?
Not really, because the side that he took them into the Gold Cup wasn't really that young. They weren't like, you know, a bunch of youngsters. It was a lot of, you know, I mean, I would call them like, you know, like, especially like in certain positions, they were like more and more B teamers. I don't think that his position was ever in doubt. I think that a lot of folks, you know, you have to understand that there's one company that runs the show down there, and as soon as they think that their revenue is in threat, I'm talking about Televisa, then they might do something. But the reality is that they're just the possible replacements just weren't that much better. So, you know, they're not going to get a good ink, or they're not going to get a. But I will say this: I think that that he may qualify Mexico for the World Cup. I don't think he's going to take the team to the World Cup. I think that they're going to make a change. I think that he's going to have to show a lot more in these last four games to prove that he has the ability to make better change, you know, better personnel and tactical decisions. And if he doesn't do it, and if Mexico, I think what's going to happen, I think Mexico's going to end up qualifying through New Zealand is what I think is going to happen. So, they, you know, they're going to get in with this game. But usually, you know, whenever Mexico qualifies like that, they end up having a great World Cup. So, we'll see what happens. But it wouldn't surprise me at all, just because the replacements just weren't that much better. So, they just had to stick with it.
So, it's either Vucetich or bust. Is that what you want to say?
Well, yeah, but I mean, he'd already turned him down once, so they're never going to go to anybody that turned him down. So,
right,
it's just the way it is.
Yep.
So. All right, sir. Well, you have a great weekend and enjoy your
your
baseball and your soccer and your preseason football, and we'll talk again next week.
There we go. Absolutely. Well, actually, in 2 weeks, because it's the FIFA. Yeah, in 2 weeks, because that's the FIFA midweek friendly. I think that's the last. This is it. This is the last midweek August friendly now.
Thank God. I mean, what a miserable time to scout. I mean, no one. I mean, who? You know, it's. You know, there's like two leagues in the world that are playing right now. It's a pointless game. And to think that CONCACAF used to play qualifiers on
thing. I know.
How scary is that?
I know, exactly. I mean, it's like we're the only ones that were like using the midweek August friendly for our qualifying and CONCACAF in the final round and the semifinal round, and like everyone else is like, why are we doing this?
Right. Very scary.
It is.
All right, Daniel, have a great weekend.
All right. You too. Enjoy AT&T Park over at the Cowboys.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And that's John Jagu, who covers the Mexican League and the Mexican national team for Big Soccer. Good guy who lives over in the Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio area, you know, Houston area as well, somewhere around in the middle. He's somewhere in the middle of that triangle, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. So he's somewhere down there. But still, though, this is a situation for these clubs in Mexico that you never would ever think that they'd come. I mean, fine, Monterrey, you know them. Santos Laguna, you know them. Maybe Guadalajara Chivas from last year. Maybe Club America now this year or this tournament. But the others are not sure. And at the moment, you just got to say that we got ourselves some pretty good games going on. We got ourselves some pretty good things going on. And once again, the situation is very simple. The situation is this. Your sides have to go and compete in this tournament and compete hard. Once again, let's review the games in this CONCACAF Champions League. Here are the standings once again after one game in Group A. Arape Unido from Panama defeated W Connection of Trinidad and Tobago 3-1. Group B, Real Esteli loses to Sporting Kansas City 2-0. So Sporting Kansas City is in the top of Group B. Group C, Herediano destroying Valencia FC from Haiti 6-1. Group D. It's a 1-0 victory for Club America on the road at Sporting San Miguelito of Panama. Group E, the Montreal Impact defeat the San Jose Earthquakes 1-0. Group F, Toluca with a 3-1 victory over Caledonia from Trinidad and Tobago. That's Group F. Group G, we have a 0-0 draw between Club Tijuana of Mexico and Luis Angel Firpo from El Salvador. And Group H, you have Cartagena defeating Isidro Metapan 4-2, leading Group H. And now, as we move forward, here is the schedule. Here is the schedule for the CONCACAF Champions League in 2 weeks. Don't forget, next week, it's a regular show on a Tuesday, on the 13th, and then on the 14th, the USA will be hosting USA will be at Bosnia-Herzegovina for the international friendly, the last one, thank God. And then starting on Tuesday, August 20th, is the second week of the CONCACAF Champions League. Here are the games. At 8 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday, August the 20th, W Connection of Trinidad and Tobago will be hosting the Houston Dynamo at Hazley Crawford Stadium. And then at 10 o'clock, game time at Cibeno, CD Victoria will be taking on Club Tijuana. And then also at 10 o'clock at the StubHub Stadium in Carson, California, the LA Galaxy will be taking on Cartagena. On Wednesday, August 21st, Real Esteli at 10 o'clock Eastern Time will be hosting Olympia at the Independencia. And then over at Estadio Cementos Progreso, Heredia will be taking on the Montreal Impact. Thursday, August the 22nd, Cruz Azul will be taking on Herediano from Costa Rica. And Sporting San Migliotto will be taking on Aluenza. And then Comunicaciones will be taking on Club Toluca. And that is for the week of Tuesday, August the 20th. So that's going to be pretty good. It's going to be exciting. And don't forget, you can catch all MLS sides in the CONCACAF Champions League finally on Fox Sports 1 and or Fox Sports 2. That will start after next Saturday coming here on your cable or satellite providers, depending on who already has the service. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see what's going to happen when these clubs in MLS, and of course, if you go to Univision Deportes or Unimas, Univision for the Mexican sides in the CONCACAF Champions League, it should be interesting. It should be fun. I can't wait. You know, I can't wait because these are great games. And yes, there are some teams that MLS, you know, teams need to take care of. And these are some games that – there are some teams, I should say, that is going to give MLS teams some problems. And you have to wait and see what the situation is going to be. And you just got to say that – unfortunately, that for some of these teams that the MLS sides are going to have to face against, this is what they got to do. This is what they're going to have to do. So basically, it's just one of those things where these MLS teams are going to have to take advantage of. One of the two are going to get knocked out in that group involving San Jose and Montreal. And at the moment, Montreal has the upper hand. Montreal does have the upper hand at the moment. We'll see what San Jose is going to do, but we'll have to wait and see when that situation pops up. So we already have 1 week or one round in the books. you know what? It's been pretty darn good. Unfortunately, we couldn't get you Accardi or Marcuzzi on the Montreal side, but it's just one of those things where we need to hopefully we'll have him back on again after the next playing week in the CONCACAF Champions League. We'll see what happens, but you know, it's just one of those things where it's going to be awesome. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. Fox Soccer, Fox Soccer Plus are all going to go away. They're all going to go away. And coming in will be Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. Brand new home for the CONCACAF Champions League and for the next Gold Cup. And then don't forget, Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2, they are going to have the World Cup after 2014. It'll be Russia 2018, and we'll see what happens with Qatar in 2022, because I'll be honest, we'll see how they're going to do it. We'll see what's going to happen, because we don't know what the situation's going to be. It's really going to be interesting what's going to happen with soccer on TV. Because we all know what NBC is going to do, and we all know what ESPN is probably not going to do. But the point is that it's going to be interesting to see what these situations are going to end up with. And as we're closing out the show here, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget tomorrow, Saturday, I know, match day, can't really do anything, but let's be honest, that is the only day I could do an Open Cup show, as we're going to talk about the semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup this Saturday at 2 o'clock Eastern. DC United going to their fifth Open Cup final, first one since 2009. Real Salt Lake going to their first ever Open Cup final, and hosting that Open Cup final. You can join me live at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific in the morning here on the 40 Cents Fire Internet Soccer Show. Then on Tuesday, August 13th, regular show again, we'll have on Chris LaMaccia of the Massive Report talking about, of course, the brand new owners of the Columbus Crew. Dave Clark of Sounder at Heart talking about the Clint Dempsey transfer. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the second week of matches in the NASL. We'll recap a little extra something about that crazy Tampa Bay Rowdy match where they won 7-4. That's going to be crazy. And then we'll recap the Red Bull Road match at the Columbus Crew as well. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun, exciting. I know for a fact that I cannot wait for it. I definitely cannot wait for that. It's going to be exciting. I love talking to you guys about American soccer. I love talking about CONCACAF Champions League action. I basically love talking about this region. Why? Because it has to be talked about. It has to be done. And where are you going to get it? Well, you're going to get it here on the 40 Cents Fire Internet Soccer Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guests. I want to thank Mike Kuhn, Down the Byline, Lisa Erickson from Quake Rattle and Goal, John Jagu from Big Soccer, covering the Mexican national team and the Mexican Liga, the Primera Division down in Mexico. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much. Join me again tomorrow, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock in the morning in the Pacific time zone, U.S. Open Cup semifinal review show, and, of course, 40 Cents Fire, Tuesday, August 13th, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. And then on Wednesday, USA at Bosnia-Herzegovina post-game show. Yes, it's important, and it has to be done. As always, I thank you for being on the show, listening to the show, live or archived. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.